Welcome to But Why Though, the podcast, a roundtable conversation about all things pop culture. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm joined this week by Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
And it's just us. We are going to talk this week about hype management, like the business side of it and also the consumer side of it, and mostly the consumer side of it, because that's who we are in this dynamic, is we are the people playing these games. But before we get into that, Adrian, what has had your eye this week?
This week, I mean, I haven't even seen it yet. I imagine by the time this comes out, I'll have more thoughts on it. I've been watching more horror, Alex. I think last time I talked with you, I think we one of the last episodes that we talked about was at the summer, probably at the start of the summer, with all of like the remakes and all of that thing, which was dominated my conversation with people, I think, for the rest of the time, because it was just stuck in my head all summer. But what we also got out of that was that there was like a lot of horrors, and as a way to hang out with my wife more at the movie theaters, now that I have a draft house within walking distance, is to go see more horror movies. And the one that I'm really, really excited about, and I think I'm really going to enjoy based off everything that's come out today, is Him.
That does look good.
Looks very good. Yeah, I know. And it's more, you know, supernatural, psychological horror stuff and things. I know, like I'm not going to go see The Conjuring, but like this is one that I'm really excited about, especially.
I think what I'm intrigued about with that movie is there's only so many types of sports movies that get made, or they get made frequently. Mm-hmm. And I feel like being like, let's do a sports movie, and actually it's horror. It's not drama. It's not a biopic. Yeah. It's not whatever however you'd categorize Remember the Titans. it's not Space Jam. It's just like a new type of sports movie, or just one that we don't see that often. And I think that for me, when I watched the trailer, that was kind of why it had my attention, was like, it's always fun to take an established genre or film type and then be like, but what if it's horror, or what if it's a rom-com, or what if it's this? So to be like, let's take sports movies and, you know, that aspiration, and let's make it horror. I'm going to make a wild guess here that this might sit really interestingly next to The Substance as like a body horror commentary on Hollywood, like to do this psychological horror on sports. I feel like those two could go together very well.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it. And I think the trailer plays really well, too. As someone who doesn't watch a lot of trailers or... Mm-hmm. Watching the trailer, I was like, oh, cool, a sports movie with Martin Williams. That seems fun. And then slowly kind of builds into like, oh, okay, this is something that, again, as me, someone who's not a big horror guy, like, yeah, I definitely want to see that, because I see the psychological stuff that's there. And it's definitely, it comes up really nicely with football season too. So I'm hoping that it's good. Other than that, man, I've just been doing a lot of comic stuff. Been really going back and reading comics. Lots of the Star Wars just came out with Tales from the Nightlands. I don't know if you're familiar with like the overall Tales series and like what that entails, no pun intended, but it's one of like the anthology kind of pieces of Star Wars, so like Tales from Jabba's Palace, Tales of the Bounty Hunters, and then now with Disney Plus, you have Tales of the Jedi and Tales of the Empire in that animated form. But in the comics, Kevin Scott, who's really big Star Wars writer for the High Republic and other novelizations, has been doing horror tales stuff. So he did Tales from Vader's Castle, and basically it's like a anthology series that takes a different spin on like horror in Star Wars. So for one of the issues, for example, it's Dracula, but Count Dooku is like the Dracula of like the story.
That's cool.
So if you're a horror fan, definitely lots of like big homages there. But now this is like his first time, like where it's like his horror story on Ryloth, where the Twi'leks are from. And is this really cool play on what I would like attribute most closely to like Day of the Dead. And a celebration that happens there. And when a celebration like that turns into something that's like a horror movie, basically, and it's only going to be like a 4-issue comic, but the first one is very, very good. Very, very good.
Yeah, I've been, yeah, getting more into comics this last year. That last thing you said made me realize I really love a good limited series, but part of me is like, is it better to just release it as a graphic novel? And I understand that they're double dipping. They release them as singles, yeah, and then they release them as a trade, yeah, and then they release them as a hardback trade, and yeah, what, you know, collectors.
How am I going to get the variant covers?
Yeah, but I'm like, man, they're like, every now and then I hear about one where I'm like, that's really cool. I would rather, like, it's one that I would trade weight. Like, I would just sit on it until it comes out and then buy that. But there's a part of me that's like, man, they got to just start doing these things as trades. Like, there's a really cool series right now that's being done, and I think actually Invisible Man is about to start, where they're just doing 4-issue retellings of the classic Universal Monster movies. But then they're releasing them in trades like a month or two after they finish. And I'm like, I mean, probably not quite that fast, but you know what I mean? Where I'm like, oh man, like, I want the floppies, or do I want to wait and get the book that goes on my shelf?
I think it just really depends on the value you put on it, I think, more than anything. Because for me, because I do want it in the singles, especially for a writer that I really like and I want to support and make sure gets, you know, his due in this capitalist machine, you know. But also supporting like my local comic book shop. I love going in there and knowing that like this one's going to come out this week. Then I'll get the trade paperbacks later, because then you can just do that for anything, right? Like, is any comic worth the one issue? Like, I picked up Marvel Zombies this week as well, which was brutal. Very, very brutal.
Wait, they're doing another Marvel Zombies?
Yeah, so they're doing like the Marvel Zombies that's coming out on Disney Plus. And I think by the time this comes out, I think Embargo will be up. So we'll probably have a piece on it about it. But there's also a Marvel run that just started where the Fantastic Four are coming back down and they are zombies and they start the infection on Earth for like this comic run. So, and it's brutal.
That's cool.
Spider-Man, Iron Man, but it's like the old school Iron Man, like with like the bullet looking costume from
with the smooth head.
Yeah. So it's good. So but I read that, I'm like, well, this is good, but I don't know if I'm gonna pick them all up at the same time. I might just wait until like
that too. I'll be honest, the big two go kind of crazy with their events. Sometimes like I was reading comics actively when they did Spider-Verse. And I just had to make the decision of I am only gonna read the core Spider-Verse story and like one or two extra issues. Ultimately I think like
it adds up. There's a
thick hardback that you can get that has all of it.
Yeah.
And when you see how much is, it's like, oh, I don't want to do all that.
Yeah, you know what I'm running into is now a new comic book fan, because if that's like kind of like what I've really been doing, is having I don't know how to store these things, dude.
Oh yeah,
I want to store them nicely, but I don't want to, I just want a cardboard box. I don't want to put them in boxes. I'm hoarding, you know, like I don't know of a nice way to display them, and I haven't seen like a nice way to display them as of yet. So if
you just
gotta
build
there
some custom shelving.
Yeah, do I gotta do it? Do I just gotta like do
it? You gotta get into woodworking, build some custom shelving.
I mean, I can do that.
Make your own little comic shop in the house.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, there we go. Yeah. Just put it all on a wall.
Because at this point, I think I have like 4 short boxes in my house that are just like stacked, and I have the same issue. I don't know what else to do with them. I don't know how to get them out nicely.
Because it's more like, oh, like, hey, I want to show you this comic and I want to be able to like go grab it, you know.
Find it quickly. Yeah, like all my stuff's bagged and boarded, but it would be nice to be able to get to it and look through it easier. Anyway, for me this week, what have I been into? Because I'm just comic brained and that's all I'm thinking about.
Sorry,
I talked about comics last week. I can't do it again. I went back. So I've been playing Silk Song. It's hard. As a little treat for myself, I went back and replayed Shovel Knight. I don't know if you ever played that one. I backed it on Kickstarter. Like I've been in it since it started. Went back and replayed it. It's still really fun. It's not that hard of a game. It's significantly less difficult than the first time I played it. I looked, I think I've played it like 6 times now, and then all of the DLC campaigns and stuff with it. But that, it's just a fun game. And I was playing it on 3DS and using the 3D effect because I forgot how weird and cool that was. I know it's not for everyone. I thought it was neat. I thought it was really fun. But yeah, Shovel Knight. And I guess 3DS in general, just going back, like it was a great console. Yeah. It had a good library. Not necessarily the most like comfortable thing in your hand because it was supposed to also go in your pocket, but that is the way of handhelds.
Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned 3DS. I also have been getting back into like my 3DS, a 3DS. A friend gave me one that I'll say has a large library of games. I inherited. And Shovel Knight's on there, and I wanna play it again because I haven't played it since I was a wee boy. So I'm glad that it's good.
It's real good.
It holds up. Is there anything about it that you're like, this was cooler or this was cooler?
No, I feel like it held up really well. I feel like the gameplay is still really like fluid, really smooth. I think maybe the artwork I still really like.
Yeah.
It is, you have to be on board with pixel art, I think is the big thing. And for me, that was not a problem, but if somebody doesn't like that, I could see that being kind of a sticking point. Cause it's that very detailed pixel art, which for some people is kind of a turnoff, but, I thought it looked really good. Again, I was playing with it with 3D on, and I had a good time with it. I thought it was good. Fun.
Yeah. I'll definitely pick it up this week and think about it.
And if you haven't played the DLC campaigns, they are great. They are all just as long as Shovel Knight was. They all play differently. They have different upgrade systems. Like it's basically four games.
Sick.
So definitely check that out. But where can people find you online?
Yeah, they can find me at SuperRuiz93, SuperRuiz93. Just about everywhere. Gotten pretty lucky there.
Cool. And you can find me on Blue Sky at Most Always Alex, and that is the only place that I am. And with that, let's get into talk about hype management. If you're listening to this episode when it came out, you probably know the games that inspired us talking about this. Not that hype is restricted to video games. I'm sure we'll get into other places where that, you know, rears its head. But Silksong came out, and that was a game with 6 years of hype behind it, 7 years of hype. And it started as DLC. And then it was like, hey, this is too big to be DLC. We got to make it a game. And then didn't get a lot of communications from the developer, which I think sort of led to like a mental undoing of the community. I don't know how much you were tracking like people online getting their hopes up about this game.
Yeah, I know that it was like it was like GTA 6 territory, but it was getting up there in like the meme of, you know, surely this year that's going to be Silksong. Surely this year it's going to be Silksong. So that's the extent that I knew, to the point like where I knew, because I watched when it was announced at Gamescom, right? Like when the first time it was announced, or was it announced before that? If it's Gamescom was the first time it was announced, I was like, yeah, heck yeah.
Cool. Forward to more Hollow Knight.
Exactly. Yeah. I know a lot of people are with it, and I know people are going to be excited to play it. I'm hoping that it's good.
I'm having a good time with it. It's really hard, that's part of the hype conversation with this game because this is not an original thought. I saw somebody comment this, I think on Reddit or Blue Sky, but because this was originally intended as a DLC, I think it starts a few points higher on difficulty than it would have if it was originally its own game. Because the idea was you would play Hollow Knight and then you would load up Silksong and go right into it. And instead we played Hollow Knight and then we waited several years before getting Silksong. And so, you know, and it's also the risk of, you know, overtuning and, you know, them being too familiar with their own game and, you know, whether or not they kept that objectivity. But I do think it's really fun. I think it's hard. I think they've actually been really responsive to the community. Like they've been patching things that people were like, hey, this is too difficult. Why do things do double damage this early in the game? Because you run into double damage almost immediately, which, context for people who have not played this game, you start the game off with 5 health, and one damage is 1 health. So double damage early in the game means you are losing 40% of your health from like stepping off a ledge slightly too, you know, or like jumping a hair too late and landing on a spike, that kind of thing. So...
Is this a game that has like modifiers and stuff, like for like difficulty, like if you wanted to turn that down or up, could you, or you just
this is one of those games that just is what it is, and it is on you to learn to play it.
Gotcha.
At least I'm 99% sure that's how it is.
Yeah.
And you know, and the community has had mixed reactions. Some people think it's too easy because they're, you know, that this is their kind of game, and other people are like, yeah, I loved Hollow Knight. This game is too hard for me. I'm not actually going to finish it, and I know that, which is frustrating because they're like. People really loved Hollow Knight. The other thing with this, in terms of hype, they announced that the game was going to be released 2 weeks before its release. So there was like basically no time for them to communicate more to temper expectations or give a demo of the game or, you know, any of the things that you would normally do to like set expectation. They also, and tell me what you think of this. I thought this was an interesting choice. I think we talked about it a few weeks ago on the show. They made a very intentional choice to not give out review codes in advance because this was a Kickstarter project and they felt bad giving the game to people who didn't back it on Kickstarter before the people who gave them money and waited 6 years.
I think I'm of two minds. One, I was looking to see who on the site, epowido.net, had reviewed it and there wasn't a review up yet, which so would led me to think that, oh, we didn't get a review code for it. That's interesting. But that makes a lot more sense, you know? And I think as someone who has been supporting like people through Kickstarter on things like books a bunch lately, and then now through like the comic back to comics, but the comic shop on YouTube. Kickstarter stuff. I think there's something to letting the people who paid you.
I would say the people who funded it
get it first crack, man. Cause I think they're going to have the most authentic, like, cause they're the ones you make it for, I'd imagine. And cause what happens if it's like not great and then like you give IGN a little bit of time to play it, they give it a 6 and then. Dude bros hear that it's a 6 and then it's awful and then no one plays it because of it wasn't worth the hype. I feel like they waited so long that you kind of have to just do it. But I think that'll like let the conversation be about everyone playing it and the reviews will kind of write themselves rather than waiting to see what a big site says it or even a little indie site like ours has to say about it, because it makes me want to play it, you know.
I think the only risk that I see, and I think Kate is the one who brought this up, is like, well, how long until like EA pulls this and is like, oh, we didn't do review codes because that's allowed now. And it's like, you guys have enough money that you don't need to do that. But
but I think, well, I mean, I don't want to speak against Kate because you know she would know better than I would, but I think that my counter to that would be that some of these companies need like the reviewers to say good things about the game.
To get people to play it.
Yeah, to get people to play it. And I don't think a Kickstarter game that people know did well on Kickstarter need that as much because they have the money to show that people are interested already.
That's true. Yeah. I think it's really just like, will major publishers exploit it?
Yeah. Maybe.
But we'll see. I mean, case in point, Borderlands 4 is the other game, which again, if you're listening to this when it comes out. Now, this is not a franchise that I'm super familiar with, but I keep seeing this this dude's name, the CEO, Randy Pitchford, I think is his name. This is a loved franchise. People are all about this game. It got a movie. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say that the movie is good or loved because I don't think it is. But this it's been around for a long time and people really like it. In general, the game is reviewing well. People are saying it's fun, that the story is enjoyable. What's getting negative reviews is the PC version because it's not running well on PC. And I didn't dig too deep into like what the minimum specs were, but the general consensus I saw from scrolling through forums was like, people aren't asking for insane performance on really outdated equipment. Like they're asking for better performance on modern, you know, like, it's not that the better your computer is, the better it will handle the game. It's just that like the bar seems to be really high for what you need for this game. Like it's like they didn't build it to what is commonly out there. They built it to what like the to a dream rig, more or less. Like and so the reviews are like, hey, this doesn't run great. And where this turns into a hype issue is this is a game people were waiting for. And the CEO's responses have been everything from telling people if you know so much better than us, why don't you code your own physics engine and code your own game and show us?
No.
It's like, all right, dude, cool. That's not, no, you know.
Yeah.
Then also telling people, if you're not happy, get a refund. Rather than we would like to work on the game to make it work on more systems, or we want to figure out why it's not performing the way we thought it would, telling people refund it, we don't care.
Have we learned nothing from Border or from Helldivers
2? Right. And that's the thing is, it's not without merit to say, like, you might need a better computer to run our game.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I feel as someone who reviews games on the PC for the site, I reviewed Hell Is Us, which is, it's not like running Crysis back in the day when computers are first coming out, but my older computer struggled to do it. And it just let me know that I do need to upgrade my things, but it still ran on the most baseline.
Yeah.
The most baseline things, like, didn't run pretty, but it still ran. And then I was still able to play it on another rig. So I think that the answer again shouldn't be just refund it or something.
Refund it and make your own game. Yeah, it's like, how childish can you be?
It is literally it's people don't like the game you're playing. So go make your own game. Then. Fine. Like we're like five or something. It's crazy.
Exactly. And the community seems pretty united that it just isn't performing the way it should perform. But it is performing on console. Okay. So it's like, you guys know how to make it run. You're just not prioritizing it on this other platform. Or you're only prioritizing a certain level of equipment. Regardless of if someone's why doesn't this run on my potato? That's on them and their potato.
As you're talking, I'm reading some of the things that they're saying. And if it's not running well, like on a 5090, then something's wrong.
How much does a 5090 cost? Do you know?
Exactly. That's no bueno. But is it being?
Does it really not run on a 5090?
Well, that people are saying that some are reporting it struggling to hit 60 frames per second on a 5090.
Which context for those of you at home, that is a several $1,000 graphics card.
Yeah, it's some stuff crashing to the desktop and things like that. So just, I think, issues with the PC version of the game. So that's what the CEO said, but are the developers doing anything about it?
I'm not sure. I feel like he just needs to get off Twitter, needs to go touch grass. But anyway, all that to say, those two things I thought were interesting because both of these games had hype, and hype is the goal, kind of like it's marketing, it's what you want, but it is these games, I guess, kind of highlight that hype is also threading a needle. You want to get people excited enough that they spend their money, but you don't want to get them so excited that they think you are, selling them something beyond what you are selling them. And so the question is how do you build an expectation that you can meet, but also an expectation that excites people? I guess the question for that is, what's reasonable for fans to expect?
I wonder to give something for fans to, is the worry that you're just too so much polishing that you wait so long and then the polishing stuff doesn't matter because you waited too long? So, and to the point of Silksong not giving out, review codes, how much was it demoed? I mean, it was announced at GamesCon. You only have 2 weeks to demo it.
I think there was a demo at GamesCon. I don't think there was a home demo ever.
Yeah. So I think maybe doing more of that to get the kind of feedback that you're looking for to shorten down the time, and let that build the hype. But I don't know if telling you can kill your hype very fast.
By telling people
that
the game.
I think more than that, just to be to you think you're right, so you tell you they make the decision, right? Both these companies made the decision to do what they did. They thought the decision was right, and then if a bunch of people tell you, hey, probably not the best move. We didn't like that. As the consumer, we didn't like that, and we tell you we didn't like that, and your decision is to continue to do the same thing. then I think it becomes like a larger issue of like, okay, well, maybe it's not time to support this thing. Maybe that 6 years of waiting wasn't worth it after all, because we lived fine without it. Like, why are we dealing with this right now?
Totally. And I think too, the issue with Hollywood, because I mean, so Silk Song, it sold. Silk Song crashed multiple digital storefronts.
Sick.
Because people wanted it. I think where Silk Song's decision, like with not doing a code, which I still think was a fine decision, was that because there was a lack of review and a lack of people explaining how hard it is, you did get a lot of people buying the game who then either complained about it and wanted it patched immediately, or who had to give up on a franchise that they like because they realized it was too hard for them, because there was nothing to set that expectation of difficulty. Like, they, you know, people who had played demos had put out reviews being like, yeah, it's Hollow Knight, but it's faster and it's harder. But like, you can only explain that something is harder so much before someone has to see it for themselves. So I feel like in this case, it was like Silk Song had a bunch of hype. It's more that there was what's the box office term, like the week two drop off? Where I do wonder what the sales numbers are going to look like for Silk Song for its second weekend of like, are you still going to get a really steady purchase stream, or are people going to kind of hold off now because they've heard it's really hard and they want to go watch YouTube videos and, you know, play a demo if they can, or borrow it from a friend and play it there.
Or wait for their favorite streamer to play it, or.
And tell them if it's good. And so like that, like that's an interesting choice. The Borderlands one, I think it just disappoints me because I'm like, you guys, you know, I mean, they didn't have, I think, nearly as much. I don't think Borderlands crashed anything, but they're not treating their fans well, which is going to make hype harder in the future.
Yeah. And do you know if there's like the connections between that and the movie? Because I know that the movie was also announced very similarly to this game, right? They're just like, we have this movie with a bunch of actors, you know. And then, like, the movie came out, and then it was gone because everyone hated it. Like, to the point where when I was at a convention, they were begging people to take the posters. Like, there was no hype to even build. And I feel like
rough.
So are they just salty? Like, is it the same people salty that the reaction of the movie
it
was
might
bad?
Be. I mean, and it might also be that people who got burned by the movie are like now. I'm not going to say they are taking out their movie frustrations on the game, but more that they are more receptive to the idea that they should be critical of the game. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like there is like, it's reasonable to expect that the game you just paid for functions.
Yeah, of course.
You know, like there was that Alien game where there was like one line of coding that completely borked the AI and made it not function right. For the enemies, and then they corrected it, and suddenly the game was insanely difficult, and they were like, oh, sorry, we gotta tweak it even more. And it's like, not that the game wasn't fun at launch, but you want a game that runs, and you want a game that you can play. How many online games have we seen where like there's not server capacity for launch weekend?
Yup.
Which
MMO fans out there,
I've got mixed feelings on that, because launch weekend demand is never gonna match ongoing demand, you know? So it's like, okay, like realistically, we're going to get 100 people a night playing this game, but launch weekend, we're going to get 500 people. And at which do you budget for, and how do you?
Yeah,
you know?
It's like, I don't know. I just never understood that either. Cause like if you like think about it in real life, guys, if you went outside and went to like a restaurant that's like opening up for the first time, the first couple of nights, they're going to be pretty busy. But then when people go do other stuff, you know, it's not going to be as busy. So you expect them to like, It's hard. I imagine very, very hard. But I mean, Silk Song is doing great, even with that decision.
It is.
Because I've seen a post on Reddit from 2 days ago that it's already reached a third of the sales of the original Hollow Knight.
That's crazy.
3.2 million on Steam, 500K on PlayStation, 500K on Switch, and 1.5 million downloads on Game Pass. Did not know it was on Game Pass. Makes me want to.
I didn't either. That's good to know. That's crazy, though, that it's doing that well already. Because, I mean, Hollow Knight's been out for a while, racking up those sales. But yeah, and I, you know, actually, that reminds me of Silk Song. I think the other thing that it's interesting to watch how it's going is watching the hype for the game kind of come into conflict with the learning curve of the game. Because it's a hard game. Like, upfront, it is difficult. It controls a little differently than Hollow Knight did. It just has a different, you know, it has a different approach in general. And so
What are you playing it on? Just for quick context.
I'm playing it on Steam Deck.
On Steam Deck? Oh, yep. You're playing on the Steam Deck. Okay. Okay.
And it's been great. It performs excellent. But it's that thing of like, oh, this, you know, so that difficulty and that learning curve also contribute to like the discourse and what fans are saying about it. And is it too hard? Is it too easy? And I think this comes to like a thing that fans need to do for hype management is like, you got to let your opinion bake. You need to like play the game long enough to really see what it's about. Because there are games that I played where I'm like, oh yeah, like eventually you get a tool that makes that annoying thing easier, but you don't get it until 2/3 of the way through the game. Therefore, it's a legit complaint because having that problem only be alleviated in the last third of the game sucks.
And when did it come out?
Silksong?
Yeah.
When did it come like out? 2 weeks ago. Silksong.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2 weeks ago. Reviews are going up and down. I mean, I mean, if they did do review codes, like 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks is usually around the amount of time. So I think now ish is probably
we're going to start getting more accurate opinions.
More accurate opinions. Yeah, I think that tracks. I think you're right on it. So that's good.
Yeah, because I feel like I saw a lot of people out the gate who were like, this is what I think. And it was like,
yeah,
I don't know that that's true. And that's, I mean, that's also where it gets hard to like fully trust that launch weekend hype to know if you should get into a game, because people are riding the high of we waited for this for years, or this is my favorite franchise and it finally has a new game. I mean, I really enjoyed Breath of the Wild. I had a great time with it. If you asked me my opinion on it launch weekend versus when I'd been playing it for a month, I probably would give you a more sober answer.
Yeah.
A month in.
Yeah.
But you know, that's also not necessarily what game companies want. They want that hype response, and I get it. It's, you know, it's what moves units, and it gets, you know, gets people to play your thing. But
it's so tough though, man, because I don't know if they're thinking about this, but I also think about like in times where codes do come, you know, a couple of days before a game, and then even as I'm playing sometimes, I think there's some games that maybe that I'm not even reviewing. I feel bad Kate had to review Outlaws under such like a strict time limit, because I don't feel like that game you can review it in like 2 days and have like a really accurate opinion on like what the game is, just because of one of some of like the technical issues that came out, you know, with a new game coming out, and two, just all of the things that are inside of it. So if it takes 2 weeks for people to kind of just get good at it, I can't even imagine what that's like for like the average reviewer. So I think maybe you just are better served just launching it and let the Kickstarter philosophy of the majority will carry us through. I think works good for them. Not so much, I think, for Borderlands, because I think Borderlands is just more a little bit more mainstream. So you're not.
Oh, definitely.
You're banking on someone being like, you remember Borderlands?
Borderlands assumed that they had maybe more hype than they did going into this. To give such a callous reply of like, code your own game, refund ours, like what, you know, it's like really the company just needs to take that guy's Twitter account away. But I feel like there was an assuredness to those comments. Whereas like Team Cherry just like made a game, polished it for 6 years. And with Silksong, I should say, like, a company can only do so much to manage hype. And we'll get to this later, but like the fans lost their minds on that one. It is, how familiar are you with the Batman Arkham subreddit?
I've seen memes from there.
Okay, so that's all you need to know. That, because there hasn't been a new Arkham game in years. In a decade, I think, almost. And so that fandom has lost their minds. It is nothing but memes and weird, like, LARPing and shit posts. And, like, that's all it is. And the Silksong community, I feel like, was approaching that before the game came out, because everything was just about, like, are we going to get an announcement, a trailer, a teaser? Does the game even exist?
It was definitely becoming, like, does this even exist, I think, was the thing I was seeing a lot more of. The hope was being lost for sure.
Yeah. Is it ever going to happen? Like every Nintendo Direct, every game conference, you know, state of play, it was like, oh, are we going to get something? No. Are we going to get something? No. And it just, I mean, I felt bad watching it, but it was also kind of funny because it was this descent into madness. But then as soon as the game got announced and a release date, all of that madness inverted and turned into hype, and they had such good momentum, and I think they're maintaining it. I think, again, they're maintaining it because they're listening and they're patching games.
Two days in, a third of the previous game. I don't know numbers no well, but like that seems like a pretty good trajectory for your game.
Definitely. And actually the patching thing too is, for me, it's an interesting component of this, because a thing that you and I did not deal with growing up as children is we bought a game and that was the game that we played. And now you buy a game and it's like, this might get patched. They might change the difficulty, move like item stuff. Like
it can be like Cyberpunk. It can be a completely different game if you wait long enough.
Yeah. Or Anthem, where it promises that it's going to be a different game and then they just decide to cancel everything. That sucked. Just a quick pause for just to mourn Anthem and how it had one of the best flight systems in a video game that I've ever played. And it genuinely was so fun to play. And then there was just zero content and zero pull to actually play that game. And actually, that's a great game for this hype conversation, because people played the demo at stuff and they were like, oh, like the flight controls are really smooth and intuitive. The combat is engaging. I'm enjoying this. And then the game came out and people were like, oh, so everything is locked behind real money, even though I already bought the game. And that was, I think, another misstep with that game, was that it cost money when it launched and then also still like required you to spend money to get cosmetics and stuff.
Yeah, because your previous point of like back in the day, you just bought a game and then you bought the game, right? Mm-hmm. You meant to pay more stuff after the fact.
Yeah, because the thing with Anthem that I remember is that you could earn currency in the game to buy these cosmetics and unlockables. The amount, the accrual rate for the currency was insanely low.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of created the issue. It was like, oh, you
just log on, buddy.
You really got to chip away at this. And like, you're not going to get anything in a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah. Loot caves, boo.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at you, Destiny. So to back on Silsong and like their patches, it looks had a big patch 2 days ago. Have you felt anything from that patch from 2 days ago?
I haven't played it since the patch went in.
Okay.
Well, yeah, like I know that they did some balance of like, let's change up how much damage the environmental hazards do. I think there's two bosses that they nerfed, because the community response pretty much immediately was like, hey, I got through it, but that sucked. Like,
yeah. That's pretty good.
And yeah, not to say that like games should conform to what the audience wants. I think Mass Effect 3 taught us all that was a bad lesson. But for them to respect that they thought they had the difficulty dialed in, and once it was in the hands of the masses, they realized that they were off a little bit, so they're fine-tuning it. They're not making any major changes where the game is suddenly easy. They are just, again, I mean, there's not a better phrase for it, fine-tuning. Like, it is really going in with the comb and being like, all right, this is at 10, let's dial it back to 8.5. This is at 6, let's bump it up to 6.5. And I think the game will be better for it. It's just, it's hard to be pumped about something when you know that what you bought might not be the same game that you end up finishing.
Is the replayability there for you? Or is it just that I don't want to do it again?
I could see myself replaying this. I admittedly haven't replayed Hollow Knight since I beat it, but I've been playing a million other games is really all that's there. I would have no problem diving back into Hollow Knight. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, especially going back and having I mean, I imagine you'll go back and you'll do it again, and just just like Breath of the Wild, you'll have a different opinion on it, and it'll still be great because you're doing it, you're playing it again. The only rating that matters is would I do it again, and yes.
And some games absolutely not. Some games absolutely. I think also like a big part of this, and we've been hitting around it particularly with Silksong, is that like companies cannot control the fans, and fans are gonna fan. Like, there's gonna be subreddits that devolve into insanity. You're gonna get reviews for better and for worse. You're gonna get review bombing for better and for worse. And you're also gonna get unrealistic expectations of what it should be. And there's nothing a company can do to control for that. All they can do is be really clear with their communication.
Yeah.
Maybe not take 6 years to release a game because people will, Yeah, or maybe not wait 6 years to release a game with such little information coming out is maybe more what the issue was there.
You can take, you know, Baldur's Gate 3 shows that you can take a long time, but keep us informed. Let us know what's going on, especially for like a Kickstarter kind of thing, like where you're where people are like already kind of like paying you for stuff. Yeah, I would hope that they would say more. I didn't know that they said so little leading up to it. I thought that it was just like any day now.
I'm realizing now
that's not fun.
I was Team Cherry's lack of communication part of what built the hype in that. Ooh. And this is the dumbest way to compare it, but you know that Family Guy clip where he's like, a boat is a boat, but the mystery box could be anything. It could even be a boat.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that kind of the mindset that people got in of like Silk Song that we know is Silk Song that we know, but Silk Song we haven't even seen yet could be anything. Therefore, I must buy it and find out. I need to open the box. I want to open the mystery box. It could be a boat.
You know, as someone who is never going to get to play Knights of the Old Republic redone ever.
Oh yeah, man. I'm sorry for that.
I think I don't want to know in advance. In 2 weeks from now, it can come out, and I'd rather it just be like that. Instead of getting jerked around for 6 years, you know what I mean? So maybe maybe they cracked the code. Just release.
I think they might have accidentally built hype by letting people lose their minds.
Yeah, if your first game is so good, just let it build.
I'm now realizing, like,
because then you have what, Grand Theft Auto 2, right? Like, oh my god, dude, when is that game coming out?
If WB tomorrow announced a new Arkham game, I cannot imagine the fanfare that would come. Although that's just that those people are nuts, and it's because those games are very good. I totally get it.
Yeah.
Grand Theft Auto actually is an interesting example, because Grand Theft Auto's hype is Grand Theft Auto 6. At this point, it is purely on reputation. Mm-hmm. Like, we have seen trailers. The trailers look nice. It's in-game renders or whatever, you know, like all that. And it's like, okay, we have graphics. We have not seen gameplay. Nope. We have no idea like we know the story premise and the characters' names, and that's kind of all we're going on right now. But that game still is going to do unbelievable numbers immediately, and their hype is built on something completely different. I do think what they risk, and I think that this is kind of the thing that people are holding their breath on, is when it comes out, what are the system specs going to be? What's the price going to be? And both of those things could kind of deflate the hype. Not to say people won't still buy it. People will complain that it's $100 and still go spend $100. Like, guaranteed that will happen. But
well, what do you need to know? Are those the things that you need to know? Like, you personally, like as a gamer, like what do you need to know?
I think I like to see at least gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
And even with the Grand Theft Auto, because it's like, yeah, I know how a Grand Theft Auto is supposed to play.
Yeah.
But if you have a new system that you're really excited about, tell me about it. If you have, you know, new mechanics that are going to, you know, like I talking on our sports episode about adding player exhaustion to sports games. Like, if you don't tell people that you're adding that to the game and then you add it, people are going to be a little bit like, you know, maybe not super stoked on it. Zelda did that with weapon durability in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Like, they added this new system and talked about it, and people were kind of like, oh, I don't know about that. That doesn't seem like it's going to be great. I think for me, I just want to see some gameplay and have an idea of it. I think price is important with Grand Theft Auto specifically, because half of what I've seen is just about how much money and time they've spent on making this game.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, how are you going to recoup that? It's our wallets, like, collectively. And so with that one, I'm like, I do want to know how much you're going to charge for it. And that will determine if I buy it or when I buy it. You know, do I wait for a sale? Because the idea that game could go on sale 50% off and still cost $50. Feels bad.
No.
Feels bad.
I better be getting something physical sent to my house.
Yeah. And so all I'd say to answer your question, like, I just want to know about how it plays. I want to have an idea of what it's going to look like. That's becoming, I think, less of a concern as cutscenes and gameplay are starting to match more and more. But there was definitely an era where, like, cutscenes were pre-rendered beautiful movies, and then the gameplay itself was polygons.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you want to know for hype? Like, yeah, what gets you excited?
I think it would really. So if there, I mean, if there was like a Knights of the Old Republic announced thing tomorrow, I would want to know gameplay for sure. I don't need to see a pretty trailer because I've seen Knights of the Old Republic trailers. And
you know what story you're getting.
Yeah, I know what story I'm getting. Like, give me, or I want to know who I'm playing as and those kind of things. And I think seeing that in gameplay is cool. That'd be dope. I want to know something that I know that they're doing more that I really saw with Gamescom is like saying, like, if it's going to be like day one on Game Pass, is going to be on Game Pass. So I don't have to like worry about the price, not realistically, right? Is it going to be day one on Game Pass? And then can I play it on my Steam Deck? Is it Steam Deck compatible? Which I'm hoping that we see more and more of because the Steam Deck is such a powerful thing. I've been playing World of Warcraft on my Steam Deck religiously, and it is a game changer. So I think compatibility for me is, am I going to be able to play it on my Xbox?
This is not related to the episode, but when you play that on Steam Deck, how does that handle things like macros or anything like that? Or are you using mouse and keyboard with it?
I'm just using like the mouse and keyboard primarily just because.
Oh, okay. So you're not like using like the handheld control for it?
No.
Okay. Cause yeah, I was like, that seems insane to try to play that game.
Yeah. No, it actually works pretty well. I mean, like, you know, like the thumb pad area is pretty accurate, at least for a mouse. So works out pretty well. Not it's like, would I be better served playing on my computer if I'm doing like a raid or something? Yeah. But if I'm just like picking flowers or something, like, yeah.
Yeah. You have to use the millennial, like, is this a small screen purchase or a big screen purchase?
Exactly,
but for
exactly.
World of Warcraft.
So, yeah. And for all the games that I've been playing now, right? So, like, is this going to be a big screen game or like a little screen game? Am I going to need to go upgrade my computer? I guess that's something I need to know now too, like,
yeah, if you're a PC gamer, like, what are the specs? That's a very important question, because saying, oh, this is going to be on PC, and it's like, all right, what PCs? Because it's not all of them. And you know, that's also something I think that in terms of like me being excited about like how a game is going to look or perform is anytime something has like, oh, there's a PS5 Pro enhanced version, and I'm like, okay, what are the enhancements? Is it just better ray tracing, or is it like a fully different system that I won't have access to?
It's just enhanced, Alex. It's just the enhanced. It's HD.
But tough. So I mean, I'll say like I want to say like for me, hype is not a negative thing inherently. I think it can bite companies when they don't deliver. But that goes back to the very, very first thing I said of like, you're threading a needle. You got to build an expectation that you can meet.
Yeah.
And part of that is also
it's the biggest part. I think the expectation part thing, you know, did the thing make me feel good in the first place? And if it does, I think the hype is the excitement. It's what I felt the first time I experienced the thing that you have me coming back for.
Yeah.
And if that is multiplied in masses well enough, then you can build some really good hype, and then the hype's good. Then people are excited. Then you're getting people together. Dude, one of the things I didn't mention that I'm really getting into right now is VTuber concerts and Hololive. I don't know if you've ever seen a Hololive concert, but as someone who likes music, man, one of the coolest concert experiences I've ever experienced. And we can talk about it offline, but it's one of those things where like the hype, you don't understand the hype unless you're there type of thing. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole other kind of hype that you have to just experience it to be hype about it enough to get other people to want to come and do it. So
that makes sense.
You know, outside of video games, it's a good thing too.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing is that like fans will put themselves into a frenzy. Like you highlighted it with like, you see it, you get hyped, you get other people hyped. And that's, you know, it's not to say that you shouldn't be excited, but like we've all seen really unrealistic projections of what a game should be or what it should do and have. And it's like, that is a very cool, like, you know, dream game that you have come up with. It is not what Nintendo is going to put out. It is not what Bethesda is going to make, you know? And I think that comes down to like, sort of, it's the time thing of like, you got to give people clear communications and a timely game to prevent them from going into that frenzied mode.
Don't let them guess.
It's also on fans to like calm down. Like, it's like, I mean, like what I wrote in the notes is like, in theory, everyone is excited. The developers are excited. The players are excited. The problem with hype is when it becomes like runaway excitement that just builds and builds and builds. And it's like, well, we're never going to actually meet. Like, I remember seeing people who were like, they can't put out Half-Life 3 at this point because like, there's literally no way to meet the hype that would have.
Yeah, no, it's not even, it's not even memed anymore. Like, that's like how far away we are. They'll do it and it'll be fine because they'd be excited about it. We'll be excited about it. I think we'd be okay.
I even saw people saying that about Silksong. Was like, if they release it, they're never going to meet everyone's, you know, hopes and dreams. And I think to some degree that is what happened, but more so because the game they delivered was very good, but slightly adjacent to what we thought it would be, in that they did amp up the difficulty a little bit and they changed, you know, they put some really, really challenging bosses in there.
Okay, so maybe for Silksong's perspective, at least for Team Cherry, like, did pretty much everything great to build hype, even if they didn't mean to.
Yeah.
Caveat with, hey, this game is going to be a lot harder than our last game going in.
Well, and I think they even tried to tell people this is going to be a harder game. I think that it's that people didn't realize how much harder. And it could also be that people are rusty and they're not giving themselves time to adjust to the game. But I can't say that for certain, because I definitely saw people who, the game came out on like a Friday morning or a Thursday morning, and by like Sunday I saw people who were like, so I'm 22 hours deep. And I'm like, oh, so you just worked multiple full-time shifts on this game. Like,
Yeah, 2017 is a long time. It's a long time to be waiting for this one, right?
It is. Well, and that's also the thing of
2014, right? Or 2013. Yeah. It's a long time to be waiting for the first one, a long time to be waiting for the second one. There's a whole pandemic in between that too. So how much of Hollow Knight's night hype came around the pandemic, I wonder. I wonder how much they popped off during that time.
Yeah, I think I saw somebody post that like, Hollow Knight, or that Silksong took so long that they had fully transitioned between when it was announced and when it came out.
That's pretty good.
They were like, no joke, I realized I was trans and fully transitioned before that we got this game.
Dang. I don't know. That's a long time.
That reminded me though, what you were saying about like, you know, time and all that, and the people who, what I was saying about people putting in too many hours. Was it Monster Hunter Wild? Is that the one that just came out?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was one where, like, after the first weekend, people were like, there's not enough content. And it's like, well, how many hours did you play over the weekend? Because, like, there was enough content. You just burned through it in 2 days and then got mad about it.
Exactly. Yeah, because that game, there's a lot to that. It's another one of those games, too, that I was like, there's no way there's enough time to review this game. As someone who played a demo of it at Capcom, there's just so much to it.
It's also, like, how can it's you hard be bored
if, like, what are you there for? Are you there just to kill the big monster and then, like, show your flash thing?
I'm not a Monster Hunter guy. I played that one with my friends, but I know that Monster Hunter games are ones that you don't play to the credits and then stop.
Yeah.
And that the credits are normally like a mid game fake out, and that the quote real game is behind it.
Yeah. So like there's story and there's things to do. I mean, I see it as like, when I was playing Monster Hunter, I see it as like, the hunting version when you're playing like Red Dead, right? When you finish Red Dead, there's always more stuff to do. You can always go hunt more things if you want
to. Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? So, but if you put in 60 hours over the weekend, you know, starting on Thursday,
you're going to be mostly done with that game.
You're going to be mostly done. And then you got to think about like your time. Like, was that worth your time? Probably.
Yeah. Do you feel like you got your money out of it, that you blew through all of the enjoyment you were going to get in 2 days?
Was the high good enough for you?
That's the thing, is that people get really excited, throw down $60-$70 on a game, blast through it in 2 days, and they're like, wow, that was short. And it's like, no, dude, you just had no self-control.
Yeah. Say Taco Bell, brother. You gotta sit there and enjoy it.
Yeah.
As someone who loves Taco Bell and sits there and enjoy it.
Yeah. But it's, it's just a matter of like, companies got to do a little bit of management on their end, but I do think that there's a distinct responsibility with fans.
Yeah, just don't do what Gearbox did.
Yeah, don't tell people refund our game and make your own.
Yeah,
like that's definitely, which still is just a wild. I mean, those were two different quotes, but like when you put them side by side, it's like,
yeah, it's one of those things. Like, oh, so you said it twice. Like, so you said a bad thing twice. Got it. Yeah. Got it.
But yeah, I'll say, like, I do think, again, that hype is good. It's really fun to get excited about stuff and to be like texting my friends about a game
to share with your friends. Yes, to share with your friends, to get everyone together. I would hope that the companies behind it are also fans.
Yeah.
And I think for the most part that they are. So I don't know. I think make sure that your CEOs are gamers too, I guess. I don't know, man.
Right.
I don't know how Gearbox faces it, but
take away their microphones when they start saying stupid stuff. It's
it's okay, bad. Grandpa. But yeah, big shout out Hollow Knight. Shout out Team Cherry for making a
great game.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing is like, the fact that it's not bad is it makes the wait that much more worth it, obviously. But like I was genuinely excited to boot it up and play it.
And they had 4 free expansions as downloadable content. I didn't know that.
Wait, for which one?
For Hollow Knight. After release, they released 4 free expansions as downloadable content. So they're just supporting.
I'm gonna have to go check that out. I don't know if that was out when I played it.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. Well, I think that does it for me and my thoughts.
He's like, I'm gonna go play Hollow Knight now.
Do you have anything else before I go play Hollow Knight?
No, that's it for me. Just get hyped about stuff. But just remember that we're all just people, and remember it's not all that serious. It's just video games.
That it's fun. It's literally supposed to be fun.
Yeah. Have fun.
Don't set yourself up for disappointment. That's what I'm gonna say.
Yeah.
But yeah, that does it for this week. If you listening at home enjoyed what you heard and you want more, we've got it. But Why Though is on Blue Sky at butwhytho.net. You can also subscribe to our newsletter, which is free, or you can donate to the site, which is money, by going to butwhytho.net/support. Both of those things help the site immensely, helps us to keep the lights on, pay our writers, make the content you enjoy. So anything that you give is greatly appreciated. Adrian, thank you for joining me this week. I had a lot of fun talking to you about this, and thank you at home for listening. We'll see you next week. Thank you.